All right, it's a very busy Wednesday. Homepage, WOGO. Of course, this first half hour, we give you the opportunity to ask whatever questions that you've got in the wellness and weight loss area for Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd. She was demonstrating her wealth of knowledge in the last hour with two different subjects in the under the category of you may have heard, but I believe, having to do with calcium. She said there's a lot of things you can get calcium from other than just milk, and also potassium that beans, actually, she tells us, provide even more potassium than bananas. Anyhow, she answered some questions, and she'll answer more right now at 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. Email mark at WOGO.com, or you can text Halvo to 77000. And a lot more happening today as well, as Merrick Garland, 63-year-old judge, has been tabbed by President Obama to replace Antonin Scalia on the nation's highest court. We've got that to get to later, plus also reaction to that. A state Supreme Court debate last night between Rebecca Bradley and Joanne Kloppenburg, the appeals court judge who's opposing her in the election, which is now just less than 3 weeks away. And finally, reaction to last night's Super Tuesday 2 primary results, the big winners, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. So lots more to get to, but right now, Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd is on the line. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mark.
All right, we got a lot of questions from listeners pouring in here today. So let's begin with this one from Lisa, who says, what foods should we eat and not eat to prevent diabetes, and what are the symptoms of pre-diabetes?
Oh, boy, that's a big one. I will try to keep it in less.
All right, we've got 23 minutes, and so we'll start now. Go ahead.
Okay, the foods not to eat, obviously, with diabetes, is stay away from your sugars, and that includes your fruit. And this is something that is pretty shocking for most people with diabetes, especially if they are tendency to be on the skinny side, is they should not be eating any starches either. Starches, with the exception of beans. Beans are a starch. Everybody needs to know that. Beans are a starch. Most people think beans are a protein. No, beans are a carbohydrate. So with the exception of beans being a starch, you get rid of bread, rice, noodles, potatoes, cereal, crackers, chips, corn, popcorn. All of those things leave. And the reason is that we're raising our blood sugars up too high, too fast. And you'll think, well, wait a minute. It is bad for a diabetic to be in a state called ketosis. Ketosis means you do not have enough carbohydrates and that you have to convert a protein molecule into a carbohydrate. Your liver can do that. No, well, I don't want to say no problem. It can do it, but there are some repercussions to that. Oh, no. You still have to have enough carbohydrates. But our carbohydrates come from 7 servings of vegetables a day. Vegetables are all carbohydrates. And from 3 servings of beans a day, a starch. And so between your beans, which is, everybody, when you think about eating beans, think about as beans as bread. So would anybody be, oh, no, you have to eat beans 3 times a day? Would you go, oh, no, I have to eat bread 3 times a day? You wouldn't think twice about it. Everybody
and, in fact,
you talked about
doing a book called The Cowboy Diet, which I don't think you have a lot
I
of projects.
I have got it halfway written, and I haven't written another word on it for several months.
But you would actually, if I remember right, you know, a few nuggets I've learned in these 9 years of interviews, which is around 1910 is the time that all of a sudden – exactly. We started moving away from the beans as much and more into the bread. What happened there?
Yeah, it's because we had the advent of the flour mill. You know, Mark, I used to do all these historical musicals. Somebody asked me about that the other day. I'll do another historical musical. But in those historical musicals, I really dug into ship manifest. That means, you know, who were the passengers on the list and who came over, because I was trying to figure out who arrived and from where and all that type of stuff is put together. But on all my research, I was always very interested in what was the food that they loaded onto the ships. What did they carry with them from Europe all the way to America? It was always beans. It was always beans. They didn't have these big sackfuls of flour. You know, it was always beans. Because if you think about it, what if flour got wet on the ship? You know, they didn't have the nice sealed tight containers like we do nowadays. Anyway, so everybody, we had beans. But what happened in 1910 in the United States of America, we had the advent of the flour mill. And up to that point, everybody was eating beans 3 times a day. It was the, to to grind your own flour. You could do that. The wealthy would certainly have helpers that would, you know, servants that would do the grinding of the wheat flour, and we would make it into something. So it still could be done. But on the range, anywhere common, you know, pioneers, everybody, we're eating beans. Everybody ate beans, 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 until the advent of the flour mill. And then you could take your grain down to this mill, and just in a matter of an hour or two, they could do the work of that a woman would take days and weeks to be able to do. And they would grind all that grain. It's like, okay, now we have flour. Now we can make bread more often. So what would you rather have with your eggs in the morning or with your porridge or whatever? Let's have bread. Forget beans. And so there was this shift that began us down a path of leaving beans behind.
Hmm.
And so we don't eat them anymore.
Yeah.
So for the diabetic, back to the diabetic.
Yeah.
Basically, diabetic eats 7 servings of vegetables a day. They eat their protein. Proteins are eggs, meat, poultry, fish, and seafood. They eat that at each meal, so 3 times a day. And then you make sure that you are getting beans with each of those 3 meals. And so then the only other thing we add are nuts and seeds. Nuts and seeds are our best source of fats, but they also come with carbohydrates. And so that way we keep a diabetic from ketosis. They have an outstanding diet. Their blood sugars drop like crazy, and so then they don't have to take as much of their medications. Always check with your physician, because when you go onto a diet like this, your blood sugars will not drop, you know, in 3 or 4 months from now. They'll drop by tomorrow morning.
Uh-huh.
And so you need to be prepared that, especially if you're on insulin, that there's going to be a reduction. And most docs have done a really great job, and they have given, you know, the diabetic patient a scale. You know, if your blood sugars fall between here and there, only take this many units of insulin. So most of them are all set up. But your blood sugars will fall, and they will fall right away and dramatically, not by, oh, it's down by 10 points. No, we're down by 100 points, 200 points, depends on how high they were in the beginning. Some of these diabetics are running in their 300s, and they'll drop down into their 100s. So that's the things you eat. The things you avoid are all the sugars, all the fruit, all those excess starches. And then the signs of prediabetes, it's the signs of hypoglycemia. And so hypoglycemia is the opposite of hyperglycemia. Hyperglycemia equals diabetes. Hypoglycemia equals low blood sugar. And people with low blood sugar think that that is an excuse to eat sugar. Boy, I'm so shaky right now. I'm not thinking very clearly. Look at my hands. They're trembling. If I don't eat something right now, I don't know if I can keep going. You can even pass out if your blood sugar is so low. So they, just as a natural response, and even as a guided response by some practitioners, will say, you need to go eat sugar. It's like, no, that's going to plummet us right into diabetes lap. And so what we need to do is we need to eat. Yes, eat. But please go eat your beans, eat your meat, eat those things I just said, eat your nuts. Everybody should be carrying nuts. Everybody should have nuts, unless you have a nut allergy, and that I would like to work with, because we can't get rid of nut allergies. But everybody should have nuts in their purse or in their pocket. So if they're, you know, stuck someplace and, you know, missed their plane, they don't have anything to eat, you know, you got nuts there, you're going to be okay. They got all your carbs, they got your oils, you'll be sustained. So we eat, but we don't eat sugary things. So those symptoms, so the prediabetes is all that shakiness and not thinking clearly.
Very good. Yeah, I've adopted a lot of your recommendations along the way, and certainly with the beans, but also the brushing my teeth with the baking soda, and then even probably more and more nuts than ever before. And so I've been hearing you emphasize that. All right, here's another listener. We're going to go to here before the break on WWIB. Again, if you have questions, it's Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd, the Bean Queen. She's answering your questions until the bottom of the hour, and then we'll turn into the fascinating and wide-ranging world of politics. But 3 questions emailed in from this listener who says, first of all, this is the kind of a vain question that I'm a bit embarrassed to ask, she says, but why would someone who is otherwise thin have a pooch of the stomach and a double chin? Have we answered that before? Okay, she says, I know that the double chin may be genetic, but if it's not, is there a way to get rid of the double chin and the stomach pooch, assuming I am following all your recommendations already?
Okay, I take it this is a female one.
Right, I believe so, yep.
Yeah, okay, because men usually don't have that type of problem. It's a problem that comes with the female anatomy.
Uh-huh.
And that's just because of the way we're made, especially if we don't have to have children, but it's almost always going to happen to every woman that has had children. That's because they got all those abdominal muscles stretched out during pregnancy. There are just a few muscles that hold up the uterus during pregnancy. And as we get bigger and bigger, those muscles get stretched out. Then if you have multiple pregnancies, they get really stretched out. It's like an old rubber band, you know, like that gets dry rotted, you know, when you try, it loses its elasticity. And we think, oh, yeah, we can always strengthen those muscles. Not quite. You know, that's nice wishful thinking. But for all women who have had children, you know, that doesn't quite work like that.
A lot of us feel like old rubber bands. I mean, depending, you know, the older you get, it doesn't feel as taut or as tight as in earlier days.
It isn't as tight. It isn't as posh. It isn't as
right.
Elastic.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the elasticity.
Yeah.
So that is basically what's happening. So you can be thin all the rest of places, but you've got this little pooch, and that's because you don't have the stomach muscles to hold it up. So then the obvious thing is, okay, well, we'll do the abdominal strengthening muscles, you know, exercises, and, you know, do the leg lifts and all the, you know, the tummy exercises, which you can do. But you'll find out they're not very effective. What I have found out is the most effective is look at the posture of women as they grow older. I'm always watching myself, Mark, because I'm falling in the same thing. You know, I'm going to be 60 in a, you know, year and a half from now. And so it's like, I'm, you know, I don't want to turn into the old looking woman too. And our shoulders, as our women get older, our shoulders go forward. They just, and our head goes forward, our shoulders go forward. It's like the bowing, the weight of the years are bowing our shoulders. And you have to actually think, stand up straight, get your shoulders back, get your chest out. You know, and then when you do that, every woman that's listening to this program, I want you to do an experiment when you get off the radio or you go turn off the radio. And I want you to go stand in profile and look at yourself in the mirror. And I want you to stand like you normally stand. And I will tell you your shoulders are going to be going forward and your head is going to be going forward. And look at where your stomach is. Now, straighten up. Get your shoulders back. Get yourself like you were in a military position. Stand at attention. And then notice what happens to your stomach. Whoops, it got all pulled in. All of a sudden you have a flat stomach. Pretty amazing. So most of this person's problem is the posture. As far as the double chin, I would have to ask her some specific questions. I don't know if she was overweight before. If she was overweight before, what happens is a lot of times we stretch out our skin. And so it doesn't catch up with us, especially if we lose weight in a rapid fashion. And so that might be left over from that. And, of course, it could be genetics. And it can be part of the aging process because our skin isn't as elastic and it tends to droop.
Yeah, I know she's quite a fan of yours. I think she may be outside of the listening area. She's wanting me to update on our website podcasts that go back even earlier. There's a lot of the podcasts you have at KarenHurd.com from our previous visits, and I think she's even given me a picture here that shows off your site that maybe go back to 2012. And so I'll try to do some digging and get some time and see if we can get some shows because we obviously have talked to you even prior to that. Okay, let's see. Also from this listener, a second of the three questions is melasma, I'm trying to pronounce that right, is melasma the same thing as liver and age spots? Is your recommendation the same as with your answer with the liver spots and a past question and answer that someone else asked about age spots?
It is. It is the same. And so what we do is that there's damage to those skin cells so that make the discoloration, age spots, and makes these funny places on our skin. And so what is the damage to the skin cells caused by? It is almost always free radical damage. And it just always is. It just is free radical damage. Free radical damage is a process that happens between molecules and atoms where we get flying around electrons that bounce into other cells and damage the DNA. And then when the DNA gets damaged, then we have problems like with, you know, the different skin abnormalities that we're facing. So what you do is you have to reduce that aging process. And at the top of the list is to get your essential fatty acids. That's why I'm eating a cup and a half of nuts every day. It's a lot of nuts, but it's loaded with the essential fatty acids because I want to stay young as long as I can because I cannot stop the clock from marching forward. It will. It's
right.
Going to go forward, whether Karen wants to hold it back or not. So at least I want to age gracefully with it so that I can be as young as I can be for as many years as I can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's eating the essential fatty acids.
All right, and one more question from KL, who says, with the salmonella, an E. coli scare that seems to happen on and off everywhere.
Yep, all through the years, all through the ages.
Do you have any general safety guidelines when purchasing nuts and seeds for eating?
Oh, yeah, I know the big pistachio one. I was looking at the, okay, do I have the 13-digit, you know, because I eat pistachios at night. Do I have the 13-digit, you know, code or the recalling the pistachios?
You hear it a lot more, though, with, like, produce, don't you? I mean,
yeah, you get a
but
lot.
I tell you, I feel for the folks at Chipotle. I mean, they've really had a hard time this year with all that. So.
Oh, yeah, they have. And this is salmonella, you know, all of this. This is common not through our age right now. It's through the ages. It's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biggest thing is, by the way, I'm continuing to eat my 13 coat supposedly contaminated pistachios because I'm fine. Because we are, and, you know, not everything was contaminated, but they have to pull back the whole lot.
Yeah.
But so what we do is we have to make sure that we have a strong immune system because these bacteria, they can go into your gut, but if you're in a good place, you're going to kill it off right away. They don't get a start on you. And E. coli is in our gut. It's one of the bacteria that reside in your large colon. It's there 100% of the time, but it's not in a high enough amount to cause a trouble. And so the basic thing is just be healthy. You say, well, that's easy to say, Karen, be healthy. It's easy enough to do if we're willing to change our diet. And so eat healthy. Then you have a healthy gut. You don't have to worry about these things. I mean, you could be overwhelmed by eating something really tainted. I mean, that was just horribly overloaded with salmonella. Then you'll be sick.
You probably never knew the quarterback on my high school football team was salmonella. So he was pretty good. He threw a lot of interceptions, though. So we'll take a break. More with Karen coming up.
Do something great for the kids of the Chippewa Valley. Be a part of Chippewa Fall Spring Fest 5K and Fun Mile for Kids on Saturday, April 30th at the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. It benefits the Boys and Girls Club and the Chippewa Area Mentor Program, which provide positive environments through caring adults and supportive programming. Participants receive a Spring Fest t-shirt, day pass, and refreshments. The first 150 children to register will get a free Micon movie pass and a coupon for Culver's Frozen Custard. Register online now at springfestchippewafalls.com/events.
Matt Schilson's back talking about his stores in Kadot and Halley. What's up?
Ram Truck Month is here, and if you're looking for a new truck, do not do anything until you stop into one of our Schilson stores this month. You can buy, that's right, buy a new Ram 1500 Quad Cab 4x4 for just $387 per month with nothing down. We have 0% for 84 months, plus up to $5,000 off on new Rams only at our Chilson stores. Stop in or check us out online at ChilsonMotors.com.
Well, hello, Mark Chilson. What do you guys got going on at your Chilson stores in Kanata and Halley?
During our spring clearance event, our customers can get a new 2016 Jeep Cherokee Latitude for only $279 per month with zero down. Or if you're looking for a new minivan, our lowest price of the year is back. We have a brand new 2016 Grand Caravan for just $18,999.
$279 a month with zero down on a new Cherokee and a new Grand Caravan under $19,000.
Check out either one of these deals plus many more at one of our Chilson family stores or visit us online at ChilsonMotors.com.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
Yes, Chilson Automotive, family of dealers, their family taking care of your family since 1959. Chilson Automotive. All right, final 7 minutes for Fall Creek Nutritionist Karen Hurd. If you've got a question on wellness or weight loss, now's the time to give us a call, 723-2555. Callers, go to the front of the line. 1-800-657-4769. Or, again, you can email mark@wogo.com, mark@wogo.com. But other questions coming in from listeners today as I backtrack here in my email. And a reminder, Karen, next Wednesday, actually we're going to change this up a little bit. Instead of the second, third, and fourth Wednesdays of wellness and weight loss, next week we'll take a break because we're going to meet some of the cast members from The Widow of Nain, right?
Right, exactly.
Right. That's your Passion Play musical, which is being performed a week from tomorrow night, opening night, and then two performances on Good Friday, 3 and 7:30 at the State Theater in downtown Eau Claire. Again, recommended price, 18 for adults, 16 for seniors, 8 for students, but it's pay what you're able.
So, yes, exactly.
All right. So people hopefully are planning ahead for that. All right, let's see. We've got another question here from Lisa, who said, how can I get rid of gluten allergies and fragrance hypersensitivity?
Okay. Well, let's do the fragrance hypersensitivity because I want to make sure I address that. And the gluten allergy is really easy. But you want to be super hypersensitive to perfumes. That should be your goal.
You are not a big fan of scents. Scented candles, scented soap.
I wouldn't call myself a big fan at all. Mark, I am so eminently opposed to them, violently, eminently opposed. Yeah. You want to be sensitive because that sensitivity is telling you, hey, there's something in the air that is not supposed to be, that's not good for me. It's unhealthy. It's just like if you smell cigarette smoke, you shouldn't say, oh, I just wish I was, you know, not so sensitive to cigarette smoke. You want to be sensitive to cigarette smoke. So what? So you can leave the area so that you can make plans to get away from it, so that you can change your lifestyle so that you're not exposed to those things. Why? Because they're harmful. The cigarette smoke will cause you to have cancer. It's detrimental. In the same way, perfumes and fragrances are the same. And so you want to have that hypersensitivity because you'll go, ooh, there's somebody with, you know, the laundry detergent smell from whatever Gain or whatever one you use. Gain is particularly stinky. And so you want to get away from people that are wearing clothes that have been washed in Gain, or make sure you never wash your clothes in whatever the stinky, you know, there's a lot of them. I don't want to pick on that particular brand because there's lots of brands. And who knows, maybe Gain has an unscented one and I haven't seen it. But I want to not slam that particular product. So what we've got is that we want to be able to step away from things that are harmful. How will you know they're harmful? How many people have I seen in my office that they'll come in here on every single paper, every single person's paperwork, I say, do not come to this office scented. Do not wear perfumes, fragrances, hairsprays, laundry detergent smells. All of that should be left behind. Come here unscented. Because I deal with a lot of people who have multiple chemical sensitivities and who will become very ill if they smell them. But I always have clients here, always. They come in, and then when I get to the part on their recommendation that they need to give up the scents and perfumes, they'll say, oh, I have already done that. I'll say, no, you haven't. Oh, yes, I have. I said, no, I'm sitting in the same room with you. When I open my door, which is 30 feet away from the front door, I smelled your perfume before I even got to meet
you. Well, think of all the different ways. I mean, you can have scented shampoo, scented soap, scented hand lotion, right? I mean,
exactly. And it, you know,
it's pervasive.
It's very, and I love that word you use, pervasive, because it is also persistent. It's in our clothes. I used to get some clothes from Goodwill or, you know, Salvation Army or something like that. I don't do that anymore because I can't get the laundry detergent smell from the previous owner out of the clothes.
Wow.
Finally, on one skirt I bought, it's cute as skirt, Mark. I never wore it because I could never get the stink out of it. I washed it, no joke, 11 times with baking soda and dried it outside on the lines and for days at a time tried to beat the stinking smell out of it. It never worked. I finally threw it in the trash.
Just to emphasize, what is the type of laundry detergent you would recommend?
Baking soda.
You know what? We actually use baking soda my wife was very excited to clean the floor in our bathroom, and it was very successful the other day. So,
yeah, baking soda is so wonderful. It has no smell. It's non-toxic. You know, you can eat it. I'm not going to recommend people go eat it.
I mean, I got to tell you, if you look at the back of most baking soda boxes, you know what the recipe they have, or they have a picture of a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, I know. That's because then maybe we'll sell their baking soda.
I'm telling you,
we have sugar addicts in this country.
It's in the chocolate chip cookie recipe. Thank you, Lisa, for your questions today. Hopefully that helps. Here's Julie, who's a big fan, who says, I've heard Karen recommend eating garlic to drain fluid-filled cysts. Does it matter what form the garlic comes in? Garlic powder, store-bought minced garlic, cooked garlic, raw garlic. Any other cyst-draining tips?
The garlic is very effective, and in all forms it carries a certain amount of efficacy. Now, in the raw garlic, that is the most potent and the most effective. However, raw garlic is very strong and can be very upsetting to your gut. So, and you can use raw garlic like on warts or on a cyst that's on your skin because that'll really knock it down. But if you're doing this internally, you just have to watch that you don't get so much raw garlic you get a stomach ache from it. So that's when you move to the more cooked things, and then you have to eat more to compensate for not having that strong little bit, like a teaspoon of garlic. You'd have to eat like a tablespoon of cooked garlic to be equivalent. So any of them are good. Garlic is a fantastic food. And by the way, also has calcium in it.
All right, here's another one. We got three questions and about a minute left, so here we go. Karen, I have a relative who's been suffering with colitis for many years. He's seen many doctors and was better for a while. He is now, capital letters, very sick, works from home, doesn't go anywhere, and can hardly lift his 2-year-old.
Yeah.
I sent him your book, which he and his wife read. Probably you may have heard it was impossible, right?
Right.
Do you really think that you can help him? He actually has set up his surgery to remove 90% of his colon. He's only 38.
Yep, I can definitely help him. I actually think I can. It's because I've been doing it for 30 years. I can help him.
Mm.
I can definitely help him.
All right, good. And so hopefully they're hearing that. They sent that about 10:55. Hopefully they followed us over here to WOGO. Good stuff. Two more. Amy says, hey, Mark and Karen, I just have a quick question for Karen. How long should somebody drink the baking soda and water mixture for kidney stones? Now, you said four times a day.
Four times a day until the stone passes.
And it was how much?
It's a teaspoon. A teaspoon of baking soda. And you just need enough water to get it down. Usually 2 ounces is plenty. Or you can throw it in your mouth dry and just drink some water and water it down.
Last question is, so do we answer how long?
Yeah, it's until the stone passes.
Yeah, just keep doing it. Because, again, real quickly, I mean, that works. It helps break it down, right?
Right. It dissolves it.
Yeah.
It's gone.
All right. And then finally, make sure sometimes they don't want me to say their names, but otherwise I like to say Jenny. Jenny says, I just had my gallbladder removed. Diet now? And will the good fats, nuts, seeds, etc. be a problem? So far, Jenny says, I'm going low fat, high fiber, lots of veggies and fruits, but having trouble getting regular. Lots of trips to the bathroom. Karen.
Right. Yeah, as the first part of her question, can she have the good fats? Well, yeah, she can if she can tolerate them. Removal of the gallbladder doesn't solve the cause of the problem, so that's still there. She's still recycling her bile, so she still can have problems. She has to have bile to digest any fats, good or bad, so she's going to have problem with any fat, a potential problem. It's not guaranteed, but many people still do, even after the gallbladder.
All right, we answered a lot of questions with Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd. Again, check her website. There's a lot of free information there. You can find out about the loads and loads of resources. Karen, we'll talk to you and some of the cast members from your fine Passion Play musical coming up next Wednesday, okay?
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. All right, call, make your appointment, 877-3510 with Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd, the Bean Queen. That's 715-877-3510. See her for so many things from A to Z on the wellness and weight loss area. All right, when we come back here on homepage on WOGL, boy, do we have a lot to squeeze in the next 29 minutes on politics. First of all, President Obama nominates 63-year-old Merrick Garland. What the president says and what the response from conservatives is to it. Listen, they're not going to take up the nomination. Doesn't matter how good a guy he is. WOGL.
Get beautiful plants and flowers from Menards. And to keep them strong and healthy, use Schultz Potting Soil Plus, on sale now. It helps feed flowers, plants, and vegetables for up to 9 months. Or choose Schultz Moisture Plus Potting Mix that holds moisture longer between waterings and also feeds plants. Your choice, $4.88 each for a 1-cubic-foot bag. Get to Menards now for the plants you want and all your spring plant care needs.
Save big money at
and FM 103.1 on this Wednesday, March 16th. Looking for highs near 39 and a 100% chance of rain. Breezy with a northwest wind at 15 to 20, increasing to 20 to 25. Could gust up to 40 later on today. Tonight, still an 80% chance of rain, maybe even rain and snow with lows around 32.
Talk Radio 680, WOGO.
Amazing.
Are you Jesus of Nazareth? It's hard to see in this light.
I am.
Oh, I'm glad I found you so easily. I had to come by cover of night because...
Because you are a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. You did not want your peers to know that you were seeking me out.
Well, yes, that is true. As a strict Jew...
I understand, Nicodemus. Tell me why you are seeking me.
You know my name?
Yes, I know you well.
But you've never spoken with me before.
I haven't needed to.
Plan on attending The Widow of Nain, The Passion of the Christ, a two-hour musical drama being performed at the State Theater in Eau Claire on Thursday, March 24th at 7:30 p.m. and on Good Friday, March 25th at 3 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $18 for adults, $16 for seniors, or $8 for students. However, any amount that one can afford will be accepted. Tickets can be purchased from the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center, 715-832-2787, or purchase tickets online at eauclairearts.com. Tickets are also available at the door.
Well, we here at WWIB are on the hunt for an advertising representative. If you want to be a part of a ministry that shines Christ's love, this is it. This job is for the uber-motivated, with people skills that like to create new ideas and love to learn. Use your spiritual gifts in a career that brings value to the business community and impacts listeners' lives. See WWIB.com for more. We here at WWIB WOGO are an equal opportunity employer.
For beautiful window treatments, head to Menards. Faux wood blinds from Window Images have a beautiful wood grain appearance that adds classic style to your home's decor. Get the perfect fit because they can be custom trimmed to the exact width you need for free. 2-inch faux wood blinds start at only $12.99 each. From blinds to shades and more, Menards is your complete window treatments headquarters.
Save big money at Menards.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
Chilson Automotive, family of dealers, their family taking care of your family since 1959. Chilson Automotive, Marco, your authorized Canon, HP, Konica, Minolta dealer. Make camping exciting for years to come with a new or used camper from Country RV. They offer parts and service too. See their inventory at countryrvwi.com. Then head to Country RV north of Chippewa Falls on Highway B. And it's time to save money on quality Wicks oil and air filters at Eau Claire Auto Value. Shop their Cameron Street or London Road Eau Claire locations or the Prairie View Road Lake Halley location today. All right, well, President Obama has nominated Merrick Garland, his pick for the United States Supreme Court vacancy, left open back in February due to the death of Antonin Scalia. This is the president earlier this morning. Just a little bit of what he had to say.
Intensive process. I've sought the advice of Republican and Democratic members of Congress. We've reached out to every member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, to constitutional scholars, to advocacy groups, to bar associations representing an array of interests and opinions from all across the spectrum. And today, after completing this exhaustive process, I've made my decision. I've selected a nominee who is widely recognized not only as one of America's sharpest legal minds, but someone who brings to his work a spirit of decency, modesty, integrity, even-handedness, and excellence.
So obviously he nominated Jesus.
These qualities and his long commitment to public service have earned him the respect and admiration of leaders from both sides of the aisle. He will ultimately bring that same character to bear on the Supreme Court, an institution in which he is uniquely prepared to serve immediately. Today I am nominating Chief Judge Merrick Brian Garland to join the Supreme Court.
All right, and there we saw Harry Reid and Patrick Leahy and Chuck Schumer, and it was the various Senate Democrats. And so later we heard from Garland. I was doing a front page on WWIBandWib.com, so I haven't I've seen him on the video monitor. I haven't had a chance to hear his specific remarks. But what about it? Listen, the Republicans are not going to take its nomination up, right? I mean, they're not going to take it up. I don't care how good it was. I mean, I jokingly said, you know, because of such the buildup that he was nominating the Lord. No, actually, Merrick Garland, 63 years old, but it doesn't matter because the Republicans are like college basketball back when they didn't have a shot clock. You try to play out, you know, if you were taking on UCLA, you know, David versus Goliath, you're like, okay, we're going to play out the clock. And that's the thing. You know, with Dean Smith, they used to do the four corners. Remember Marquette in North Carolina, 1977 NCAA championship? Marquette actually won that one. Al McGuire gets his one and only national title just ahead of retirement, and then goes on to be a great color analyst with Dick Enberg over the years. But the thing is that they're going to play this out. And apparently, and I saw it based on some of the imagery that Fox was putting up in the bottom of the screen, the president tried to bring up the fact that, you know, it was 120 since, you know, 1918 or something like that. 125 days is the longest we've waited in terms of Supreme Court vacancy or whatever they want to bring out. And Anthony Kennedy was the last president in an election year. And what you're counting on is that the bulk of the populace doesn't pay attention, because Anthony Kennedy, yeah, you can say 1988, but and it was February 1988, they voted and approved his nomination. But a big, big but before that, 1987, the Borking of the Robert Bork nomination. We got a word introduced into the English language. Look it up. Go to dictionary.com. Type in Bork. What does it mean? It means kind of a media pummeling of somebody's nomination. It happened to Robert Bork. It was wrong. It was led by a Democratic Senate. It was led by the late Teddy Kennedy from Massachusetts. And ever since then, we try to largely nominate justices, nominees who don't have nearly as vast a paper trail as Robert Bork did. Are conservatives 30 years later still stinging over that? You're darn right. Yeah. Anyhow, the point is that don't give me that 1988 voting on Anthony Kennedy. No. After Robert Bork's nomination was wrongly denied. Okay, wrongly. He was imminently qualified. And he was wrongly denied. And then we know Doug Ginsburg came out and, I don't know, he's tied to pot smoking. And so that kind of imploded within about 30 days. And then, yes, Ronald Reagan. The late, great Ronald Reagan did nominate Anthony Kennedy, and in his final year of the presidency that was an election year, it was voted upon. But it was actually, his nomination was submitted, Mr. President, prior to the election year. This is now later than Kennedy's nomination was even voted upon in an election year. And of course, all that's left out for the optics and the image and the message, and it's just not going to happen. So Merrick Garland, I'm sorry. I mean, they're not going to vote on, you're not going to even have a hearing in March or April or May, and then it's going to be the summer, June, July, or August, and we'll have the conventions, and then September and October, and then November 8th will be a presidential election, and that's where we're going to decide, okay? We're going to decide, is it going to be Hillary Clinton, who's elected the next president of the United States, for, as my friend Marty in Eau Claire says, a third term of Barack Hussein Obama, or will it be Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or John Kasich or Paul Ryan? John Boehner today endorsed Paul Ryan for president. And Drudge has added up this morning, and Boehner endorses Paul Ryan for president, saying, we'll see, who knows. And Boehner for a long time privately has been saying, hey, if they don't decide anybody in the first ballot or something, I mean, I think Boehner. And then, you know, Ryan's got some comments that he made to CNBC's John Harwood about the whole thing, where don't make more out of it than it is. I mean, I've got the audio, and maybe we'll get it here before 12 o'clock. But Ryan even says in there that, you know what, I think somebody that should be become the party's nominee should have been running for president, and I made a decision not to run. So there you go. All right, but then John Harwood pressed in and said, well, you know, you're not Sherman-esque. You're not completely saying. He's like, you know what, John, I haven't thought about that. It's not. I got other fish to fry. I got other things to think about. So anyhow. The reaction to, so having said all, that's just not going to happen. So if it's Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, then, and they win, then great. And then they get to nominate who they want for the Supreme Court, dealing with, be it a Republican or Democratic Senate. I'm going to think it's a tough, this particular election is going to be tough. Some of the Republicans elected, like Mark Dixon in Illinois or Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, were elected in blue states in a year that was overwhelmingly Republican, and the Tea Party year of 2010. So it's going to be tough, some tough sledding. Now, Ron Johnson's given it everything he can in this one. And so you get a two-for-one. You get a president, and you're going to get a Supreme Court pick. And I'm sorry, Barack Obama. It's just not going to happen. But I think a good reaction from the Judicial Crisis Network and America Rising, responding to President Obama nominating Merrick Garland to the U.S. Supreme Court. Carrie Severino, chief counsel and policy director of the JCN, says we're in the middle of an extremely contentious political season, and the nation's already deeply divided on so many issues. The best thing for the nation is to trust the American people to weigh in on who should make a lifetime appointment that could reshape the Supreme Court for generations. Severino says President Obama wants to take that decision away from the American people because he and his allies are committed to pushing the court in an extreme liberal direction, and Judge Garland is a key step in that plan. Now, you know, Democrats say the president, you'll hear them out and about in the next 24 hours saying, you know, no, the people spoke in 2012. Barack Obama is president. We're following the Constitution, you know, kind of picking and choosing, kind of a Swiss cheese approach on that, right? With the executive order on illegal immigration and other things, not following the Constitution so much, but on this, they claim they are. And so I guess the response is from Republicans, yeah, but the American people also spoke in 2014 when they elected a Republican-controlled Senate. Sorry. But here's some things about Judge Garland, in case you're tempted. Like Tommy Thompson, and one of the headlines this week at WizPolitics.com was, Tommy Thompson joining a former Governor Jim Doyle, they both believe that Republicans should take up the nomination. Tommy gets sometimes he gets uncomfortably far to the left for me. He's a great guy. I love his enthusiasm, his passion. So much about Tommy that's great. It was fun to see him on Upfront with Mike Gushue. He's heading up John Kasich's campaign in Wisconsin. Sweet win for Kasich in Ohio last night. I know Trump had a tremendously successful night winning all over the board and garnering a lot of delegates, but there's still a tough road to hoe. You know, if you check out this morning, Trump still needs to garner more than 57% of the remaining delegates in order to win on the first ballot. And if he doesn't win on the first ballot, he's suggesting that there would be riots, he suggested to Chris Cuomo today. I thought that was irresponsible communication from him. That's one of the things that bothers me about Trump is, like, can you be more careful with your words? I come before this microphone, I need to be careful. There's a responsibility. And you come before microphones all the time. You need to be careful. You're responsible for everything you say. If you were the nominee of the Republican Party, I mean, if you were the president of the United States, you are responsible for every single word you say. And I think to throw out the word riots and repeat yourself as he does, you know, Rubio gets, you know, certainly as Rubio suspends his campaign last night, us Rubio fans can look back to the New Hampshire debate just days before that and his encounter with Chris Christie, who's now the bouncer for Donald Trump. And he was there taking on Rubio and calling him out and say, there he goes. And Rubio did repeat himself. But good grief, Donald Trump repeats himself all the time. I've never heard anybody, I mean, everywhere he goes in his speeches, in his interviews, it's part of his persuasive speeching. I don't know. I mean, Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert, talks about, you know, some of the skills he learned through hypnosis. Donald Trump applies some of those skills. I don't know. Is one of those skills repeating yourself? Because he does it incessantly, nauseatingly, relentlessly, over and over again. But opposing Winston, Merrick Garland. I think there was there a basketball player, Winston Garland? Merrick Garland. Here's what the Judicial Crisis Network says, some points to keep in mind. That President Obama wants to move the Supreme Court dramatically to the left to cement his liberal legacy for decades into the future, and that Merrick Garland has been called the ideal judge to do that. B, Judge Garland's record on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals proves that he'd be a reliable fifth vote for a laundry list of extreme liberal priorities, like gutting the Second Amendment, like legalizing partial birth abortion, like unleashing unaccountable bureaucratic agencies like the EPA and the IRS. Disaster. C, Judge Garland clerked for the court's liberal icon, Justice William Brennan, and was reportedly considered for a cabinet post in Obama's administration. D, reasons to oppose this and say, we're not taking up this nomination. In multiple cases, Judge Garland has demonstrated a remarkable level of hostility toward the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, voting to uphold D.C.'s very restrictive gun restrictions, and siding with the federal government in its plan to retain American personal information from background checks for firearm purchases. E, Judge Garland was the only dissenter in a 2002 case striking down an illegal job-killing EPA regulation, the Hayes Rule, that would have, in the majority's words, forced businesses to spend millions of dollars for new technology that will have no appreciable effect on Hayes in the area. Garland would have upheld the rule. And finally, F, reasons to oppose Garland, he's a long record of deference to unaccountable government bureaucrats at the Department of Labor, EPA, and the other agencies whose regulations kill jobs and stifle economic growth. Thanks, but no thanks, Mr. President. No plans for the Republican-controlled Senate, voted in by the people in 2014, to take up this nomination. Also, Alliance Defending Freedom Senior Counsel Casey Maddox saying the Obama administration has demonstrated it cannot be trusted to respect the rule of law, the Constitution, and the limits of its own authority. So it should surprise no one that the American people would be highly skeptical that any nominee this president puts forth would be acceptable. And finally, conservatives rallying behind Republican senators like Ron Johnson in this Supreme Court fight, a consortium of conservative leaders saying yesterday that they'll take action to back Republican senators who took a principled stand in refusing to confirm a Supreme Court nominee this year. More than 100 leaders signed the letter by Conservative Action Project that'll go to Republican senators and conservative advocacy groups, including among the signers, Edwin Meese III, the former attorney general in the Reagan administration, Becky Norton Dunlop, a former Reagan advisor who is CAP chairwoman. All right, so there you go. All right, meanwhile, next segment, real short, some of the reaction to last night in terms of the results on Super Tuesday 2. And then finally, Rebecca Bradley and Joanne Klappenberg square off in a debate at Marquette University Law School last night in the state Supreme Court race.
The Raven Team presents Reasons Not to Rent.
Can I help you?
Our dishwasher's broken, and I was wondering if...
Gary! They want their dishwasher fixed!
I asked about it a few months ago, too, and...
I'm sure he'll take care of it soon, hon. Next!
Okay.
Tired of renting? Dreaming of your own home? Talk to the Raven Team at Century 21 Metro Realty and see how affordable owning your own place really can be. View properties throughout West Wisconsin and try out the payment calculator at theraventeam.com.
You play hard, whether it's daily, weekly, or just once in a while. And although you take good care of yourself, one wrong twist or step can result in a painful injury that takes you out of the game. That's why Mayo Clinic Health System teams with you, your coach, doctor, parent, or spouse to return you to your game in the quickest, safest way possible. For more information, call 888-662-5666. That's 888-662-5666.
Well, we here at WWIB are on the hunt for an advertising representative. If you want to be a part of a ministry that shines Christ's love, this is it. This job is for the uber-motivated, with people skills that like to create new ideas and love to learn. Use your spiritual gifts in a career that brings value to the business community and impacts listeners' lives. See WWIB.com for more. We here at WWIB WOGO are an equal opportunity employer.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
All right, 9 before noon, homepage FM 103.1 AM 680 and WOGO.com. We'll shoot to get some NCAA tournament picks on tomorrow. I have not been in touch at all with Dave and Mary Check, our favorite sports prognosticating couple to choose games with. We may have done it on a Wednesday last year, and I know the tournament starts tomorrow. It'll barely be underway, so I think that'll be fine. But right now, congratulations to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton garnering up more delegates last night, helping themselves. And following primary wins in Florida, North Carolina, and Illinois, Donald Trump appearing on CNN this morning to explain what his plan is to get 1,237 delegates, and if not, how would he win at the convention? Trump also telling CNN's Chris Cuomo what he thinks would happen if he's close to clinching the nomination but loses at the convention. Again, the idea of a contested convention or second ballot, whatever you might call it, something that Hugh Hewitt, Must Listen Radio weeknights 6 to 9 here on WOGO, has talked a lot about. And in fact, certainly Trump reaching that plateau was hurt quite a bit by not getting the 66 delegates in Ohio. And as I mentioned this morning, the math shows that Trump needs to win more than 57% of the remaining delegates in order to get to 1,237. So what did Donald Trump say this morning?
We don't win anymore.
Well, we win every time we come together, right? That's what America's history shows us. So now you're heading into a convention. If you get to 1,237, or if you don't and you're close, you're going to be going to a convention. What is your plan to bring people together there and get many, as you know, who don't want you to get this nomination to change their minds?
Because I think there's a natural healing process. Once the battle is over, once the war is over, I think there really is a natural healing process. And I've gotten along with people all my life. This is actually a little bit unusual. I've gotten along very well with people, and I think it'll happen again. And I believe it will. Now, if it doesn't, it doesn't. I'll go along the same path, which has obviously been an effective path. I think we'll win before getting to the convention. But I can tell you, if we didn't, and if we're 20 votes short, or if we're you know, 100 short, and we're at 1,100 and somebody else is at 500 or 400, because we're way ahead of everybody, I don't think you can say that we don't get it automatically. I think it would be, I think you'd have riots. I think you'd have riots. You know, I'm representing a tremendous, many, many millions of people. In many cases, first-time voters. These are people that haven't voted because they never believed in the system. They didn't like candidates, et cetera, that are 40 and 50 and 60 years old. And they've never voted before. Many, many of those people, many Democrats, many independents coming in. That's what the big story is, really, Chris. I mean, the really big story is how many people are voting in these primaries. The numbers are astronomical now.
Now, let me say, they're good numbers, but it's open primaries like Wisconsin has, where you don't register as a Republican or a Democrat. And the Democratic primary, I mean, one of our wire stories today is the Democratic primary is probably going to mean very little come April 5th in 20 days. And so, I don't know, actually, the latest poll we saw from the Marquette University Law School was in Wisconsin had Trump at 30, Rubio at 20, and Cruz and Kasich after that. So, I understand. I mean, if anybody's going to win the ballot on the first, overwhelmingly the odds are in Donald Trump's favor. If he doesn't, though, that's when the question rises. What if he doesn't? And again, Hugh Hewitt asked him about that in the debate last Thursday night in Miami. To me, he gave an unsatisfying answer, and today was probably even worse.
Now, if you disenfranchise those people and you say, well, I'm sorry, but you're 100 votes short, even though the next one is 500 votes short, I think you would have problems like you've never seen before.
Yeah, not just votes. They're delegates. They're delegates. They're representatives. They're real people. 9% of the Republican delegates actually are not attached at the convention. From what I understand, Marco Rubio's delegates will not be bound to him. And a caller earlier this morning was trying to figure out, well, why would John Kasich stay involved? Of course, Kasich has had a very selective approach. But Kasich is banking on the fact that it's not decided on the first ballot. And that eventually, if, in fact, in the process, it moves on, that he would be somebody that the party could rally behind. And so if you want to say establishment, I mean, he's his own guy. And there's even a piece up at Politico today that says his faith, his strong faith, and may, in fact, be, which works itself out in him taking the Medicaid dollars from the federal government, from Obamacare, that Governor Walker didn't. He chose to be a compassionate conservative, and he's probably more got higher approval ratings in Ohio than Scott Walker still has here. And so we'll have to see. I mean, that's a particular approach, but the rules are the rules, and I just think it's irresponsible for somebody to be talking about riots.
I think bad things would happen. I really do. I believe that. I wouldn't lead it, but I think bad things would happen.
Yeah, again, so his actual words were... I think you'd have riots. I think you'd have riots. He repeated himself as he does. You know, I'm representing a tremendous many, many millions of people, in many cases, times of first-time voters. Well, you can't disenfranchise the many other people who voted not Trump. I mean, he's been a defining figure, clearly, in this election. I understand. Many are for him, but many are not. All right, well, we've running really low on time. And so I wanted to get you at least a little bit on the debate last night between Rebecca Bradley as she squared off with her opponent, Joanne Kloppenburg, in a pointed debate, and they scrapped over judicial philosophy and partisanship on the court. But in what was probably maybe the most dramatic moments of the night had to do with some of those newspaper articles that have aired in the Journal Sentinel. Here's just a portion on WDOGO.
Let's talk about the tone of this campaign, which has gotten tougher in the last week and a half. And Justice Bradley, I'll begin with you in this. The liberal advocacy group, One Wisconsin Now, uncovered some writings that you had done back as an undergrad here at this university. It's for the school paper. Some of them are fairly controversial. Some of them are quite provocative. They deal with issues like abortion. One of them dealt with a comment about date rape. Another issue that came up was gays, homosexuals. And this is 24 years ago, which you have pointed out when you've been asked about this. But you said of gays in one of these columns, you called them queers, and you said that gays with AIDS or HIV were degenerates. I know you've apologized for that, but what would you like to say tonight about those comments then?
I would like to reiterate the apology that I made last week several times to the people of Wisconsin. First of all, I'd like to apologize to everyone in the state who read those comments 24 years ago. I wrote them a quarter of a century ago when I was a 21-year-old college kid. And I have changed significantly as a person, as we all do, as we grow up and experience life and get to know people. And I'm apologizing now to everyone who read those words over the last week. I have said, and I sincerely say, I'm deeply sorry for those words. I'm embarrassed by them, and they in no way reflect the person I am today. And anyone who has gotten to know me, anyone who had a case before me at the trial court level, court of appeals, or at the Supreme Court knows that those comments that I made a very long time ago do not reflect who I am today.
What changed you?
The process of change, Mike, really started after I wrote those words because, as you can imagine, I received reaction from people.
All right, well, I wish we had more time, but that's what we've got time for here on homepage, WOGO. So suffice it to say, they talked about which Supreme Court justice are they most like. And Rebecca Bradley said, you know what, Justice Scalia, his philosophy, strict constructionist, that's the way I approach the Constitution, a state constitution or otherwise, and more like a Ruth Bader Ginsburg or Sonia Sotomayor for her opponent. So long.